Welcome to Coastal Connection. I'm your host, Brian Russo. Coming up later in the program, we'll take you to the once thriving vacation destination of Tolchester Beach. We'll meet a young minor league ball player trying to live up to his very famous family name. Plus, we'll take you to Dewey Beach, Delaware, to find out why the town and business owners are at odds once again. But we begin today's program at a small 85-year-old waterfront house in West Ocean City, Maryland. We're here because this house is literally sinking, and it has been since Hurricane Sandy hit more than a year and a half ago. Shelly Oatman and her husband Scott are the owners, and she's giving me the tour of the exterior.
If you walk over here, you can see there's no space left between the house and the ground.
Yeah.
It's sinking.
Can you feel it sinking, or is it just you can tell when you look at it?
You can feel a slope in the floor when you walk through the house. And the other thing that we saw is cracking that we didn't have before the flood. And we see drywall tape that's buckled in the middle and separated on the end. I mean, it's clearly an issue of movement. And we did, in fact, hire a structural engineer to come in and look at things because our flood insurance was saying, no, the house didn't move.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure how they know that the house didn't move when they didn't know what it was like before.
Tell me about when Hurricane Sandy came through, what happened at your house as far as flooding?
I think at about 11 o'clock in the morning, the water started coming into the house. And the way the water comes in, it starts bubbling up through the floor. We were completely surrounded by water, and we were here, and it just starts coming up through the floor. And we had about 6 to 8 inches of water on the morning high tide that day. I think our high tide was around 11 o'clock. And then at about 10:30 that night, we saw the water start bubbling up again. I don't think we had as much water that time.
So where we're standing right now, which is actually on the other side of where you can see the water from your house, we're on sort of the high side of your house. This was all 6-8 inches of water.
Yeah. Oh, there was more water than that out here. There was 6 to 8 in the house. So, yeah, and then the next, I think the third high tide, we get completely surrounded by water, but it didn't come in. Yeah.
Now, this house is 85 years old. This is not, I mean, many houses here in the region, newer houses, are built up on blocks. This house is not.
This house is built on basically block piers. And it's the way construction was done at the time.
Yeah.
It seems to be a very solid house. It's built out of old southern yellow pine. It's hard as a rock. So it's withstood a number of hurricanes. But the ground saturation, I believe, is making the house sink.
Shelly leads me into the house. And to be honest, at first glance, it looks like an active construction site. There are exposed beams and basic subflooring. A few of the walls have plastic sheeting taped to the walls to cover the insulation. She pulls up rubber matting in her son's music room to reveal a trap door.
You can see the joists are now about three and three quarters from the actual ground.
And where was it prior?
I think the house at one point in time, I mean, I don't know specifically, but I know that it had to be a good foot above ground. I know there are places in the house, the back section of the house is newer, and that's built a little bit differently. That was built sometime in the 60s, so it's a lot more stable, and that's about a foot above ground.
So Shelly and Scott did what any family would do with a damaged house after a hurricane. They filed a flood insurance claim, and they got an estimate on what it would cost to fix it. Well, the price tag to raise and repair their sinking home was roughly $58,000. And as for their flood insurance coverage?
When we got the proof of loss from the insurance company, there were quite a number of things that they missed. The cracking, which they had taken pictures of when they were here, they completely denied. They did pay for, you know, removing part of the wallboard, replacing it, replacing subfloors, stuff like that. But there were a number of things that they didn't cover, even things that they realized needed to be done, like our pump. We have a heater in our pump house, which was underwater and didn't work. They didn't include that. And the pump, they didn't include the water pump. And I had to follow up with the insurance company. So it probably took me a good 7-8 months to actually get those things covered. And they said two things. They said that the cracking wasn't related to the flood, that it's an old house. And they also said that your policy doesn't cover earth movement.
So, devastated with the idea of being stuck in a sinking house without the funds to fix it, Shelly started doing some research. And she found out about a hazard mitigation grant from FEMA. So she inquired about it. And soon after, she got an email from Bill Carroll at the Maryland Emergency Management Association, or MEMA. The email read, "Thank you for sending this estimate and engineering report. The project cost meets the cost effectiveness criteria, so the elevation of your house is eligible for a grant under the Hazard Mitigation Grant Program, which would compensate you for 75% of the project cost, if approved. The way this program works is that the county would apply to MEMA on your behalf, and we submit the application to FEMA for final approval. If you would like to proceed, we will meet with the county staff to get the process moving and let you know what other information we need from you. Thank you. That's where the real frustration began.
I was told that there were four or five other houses in Worcester County that were in the same situation, and this grant process gets handled as a block. The county must make application to FEMA on behalf of all of the homeowners. So my understanding was that someone needed to take the lead on this project in Worcester County, and Tom Kane, who's the emergency management planner, it was determined that he was going to take the lead. And he was to make a presentation before the county commissioners at their February 6th meeting. And the meeting, the agenda kept getting changed, sometimes due to snow that we had this year, and other times, I don't know why. But their presentation was bumped through many meetings, and he was trying to set up the presentation for April 4th. And at that point, we found out that the grant monies were no longer available.
Gutted once again, Shelley started calling her state legislators, trying to find out why the county was taking so long to decide on something that everyone else had told her was practically a sure thing. Then she got another email, this one from the folks at MEMA again. The date was May 27th, and the news was even worse. It read, "Shelley, thank you for your interest and persistence with this issue. Unfortunately, funding opportunities under the Sandy Declaration have passed, and we are unsure of the next wave of funding that will be available. We are proud to say that of the $6.5 million in HMGP funds that were made available under the Sandy Declaration, more than half went to elevation and acquisition projects throughout the state. Thanks again." So the big question in Shelley's mind was simple. Why was Worcester County so hesitant to take the lead on something that would help local families fix their damaged homes?
The county is concerned about what their costs and their liability is going to be with regarding this grant, because they have never done this in Worcester County before. It's been done in Dorchester, Somerset, and Wicomico counties. My understanding is without any major issues, and that it's basically a win-win for everybody.
We made repeated attempts to get someone from the Worcester County government to talk about this issue. And eventually, we got a note from Kelly Shanahan, the county's assistant chief administrative officer, who told us that the county commissioners will be discussing Shelley Oman's case at a meeting on Tuesday. He said, "The county is still waiting on MEMA to send more information about its grant program, as county leaders have questions about the county's potential responsibilities and liabilities under the grant program." That mirrored something that MEMA officials mentioned in their May 27th email to Shelley Oman, which stated that MEMA hoped to address any concern that the county has with pursuing FEMA grants in the future. But for Shelley Oman, she's left wondering why it's taken this long to get what she calls very simple answers.
The answers they're looking for are coming from MEMA, which is Mark James and Bill Carroll. And I know that I personally have never had an issue getting a hold of either one of them. So I'm not sure where the problem lies. I know I can pick up the phone and call them.
Shelley said she did have one face-to-face conversation with a Worcester County commissioner who told her that he is in support of her quest to get the funding to fix her home. But he told her to be patient because government moves slowly.
Either don't talk about reasons why you don't want to talk.
So here we are, more than a year and a half since Hurricane Sandy flooded the Oatman residence, and Shelley and her husband Scott are back at square one, sitting at the dining room table in their sinking home, hoping and trying to fight off the emotions that she says seem to be getting harder to keep at bay. Do you feel like anyone understands what it's been like to live in these conditions?
No, I don't think anybody understands what it's like. We're embarrassed to have people come to our house because it's so torn up. My son, when this happened, was 13 years old. He's now 15. He's embarrassed to have friends come to the house. We were in the process of trying to create a music room for him because he's quite a talented musician. That construction has had to halt. And holidays come, and it's really hard to have Christmas in a house when you've got no walls and plastic covering your joists and your walls to keep the draft out. It's just a really hard way to live.
And every time there's a storm and every time there's heavy rains, you guys are still dealing with flooding, right?
We are. There are sometimes several times a year we're completely surrounded by water. It hasn't happened to this year yet, to this point in this year. But even just last night, we had water almost up to our porch and our deck with a high tide. Tide's coming in now, so it could be a high tide again. I'm not really fearful that this one's going to surround us, but, you know, you just don't know when it's going to happen.
You know, some people may be listening to this and say, well, why don't they just sell and move? But no one in this market is going to buy an 85-year-old house that's sinking that had flood damage and sees every time that there's a storm. Really, you're to the point at, you know, if you don't find the $58,000 one way or another to raise this house, you're really stuck with the sinking house.
That's correct. There, you know, we do enjoy living here. We enjoy having a house on the water. We enjoy being able to do the things we can do because of it. But it's an old house. It's been in my family for quite a number of years. And, you know, we do think about moving somewhere else. But it's exactly as you said. The house doesn't have value to anyone else in its current condition.
Shelley Oatman says the hardest thing in this entire ordeal has been feeling like she hasn't been heard. She says she knows she's done her part in all of this, but she's unsure of why she's still waiting. But the thing that keeps Shelley up at night isn't the memories of Hurricane Sandy or the damage to the house or even this long process. It's the words from that county commissioner. Be patient, Shelley, because government moves slowly. Shelley Oatman and her family say they still are holding on to the hope that no matter how slow government moves, it will at least move faster than their sinking house. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection.
So now you might get eaten by the wolves you cried about for many years. When you diagnose yourself and lied about your health, did you and your heart gave cheers when we shared?